Josh Bertaccini joining us, the voice of that part of the country.
I've been waiting a long time for this.
The moment you've been waiting for.
JB, maybe you can do commentary live.
And the show that everyone's been talking about.
Not the game that I go out there and die for and play every game like it's my last.
It's time for the real NWA JB.
At least I work someplace that you can find when you're looking for it.
Follow, watch, and listen across social media at the real NWA JB.
Okay, all right. Because it's all about the little things.
Streaming live on YouTube, Podbean, and worldwide at TheRealNWAJP.com.
You were man on fire last night on the post game.
You've started your day in the right way. Let's talk sports.
This is prime time television here, folks.
Here's your host, Josh Bertaccini.
All right, 7:05 on a Monday. Hope you're doing well as we get on the broadcast airwaves across Northwest Arkansas, but across God's green earth as well. My goodness, what an incredible planet we live on here. Life, it's a real thing. You and me and, you know, 7 billion others hanging out on this globe in the middle of the galaxy. We got to see that eclipse, the solar eclipse last week. It was certainly an epic celestial event in its own right. And now we're plugging forward. Are we not? We are plugging forward. We're getting closer to summertime USA by the day. I can't wait for summer. This week marks 8 full months into this new operation for us. We're averaging just under 6 shows a week when you throw in the Saturdays every week. So it's been a grind, but I'm not complaining. We told you early on it would take a couple years to get the good ship Team B Media up to speed, get it rocking and popping. And so far, so good on that front. I like where we're at. I think a lot of positivity coming at folks out there. And we're doing some sports talk conversation about the Hogs every day, let's be honest. SEC sports and everything beyond, including all the big-time sporting events you get to see on the national stages as well. Why don't we start right there? We'll get to Razorback baseball in a moment. Masters first. Not a very exciting Masters this weekend. Really, the biggest drama of the whole event was whether or not our boy Tiger Woods, T-Dubs himself, would be able to make the cut and set a record for most consecutive years making the cut at the Masters. Most consecutive events, at least. The COVID thing just wrecks the way you have to describe this stuff. But you know, almost 30 years into his career, and Tiger's still setting records, good and bad. And you saw it in consecutive days. The first 2 days, Tiger looked a little bit like his younger self. Now, he wasn't as aggressive, not able to go for the birdies or the eagles like he used to. But still, you know, knocking down putts, hitting fairways. It was a great story when Tiger Woods made the cut at Augusta for the 24th consecutive time over the weekend. Unfortunately, that's where that great story ended, because the next day, Saturday, Tiger Woods woke up after playing 23 holes the day before because the first round was interrupted by weather and the sort and the like. And so what happens on the other side? Tiger's done physically. His body's wore out. He got nothing left to offer. He's spent. And he came out there and he looked spent, didn't he? Tiger Woods, with his worst round at a major on Saturday. This is my sports. You got to be careful, folks, navigating in the extremes of so great and so bad, right? I've made my living in sports for a long time in the gray in the middle. And I think that helps me. That's an advantage because, man, people love to celebrate everything great, especially these days with the social media, like it's the next big time event on the planet. And then other folks on the flip end of it like to tell you it's the worst thing that's ever happened to them. Okay. However you feel the need to go about it, okay. But Tiger Woods was an old man on Saturday, shot an 82. Most of us would bribe for an 82. Tiger Woods shoots an 82. It's his worst score in a major ever in his career. Wow, all right. And then he hobbles his way through the fourth round as well, finishes dead last out of those who made the cut. 60 folks made the cut. Tiger finished in last place. So A tale of two stories for one of the most famous athletes of my lifetime, certainly one of the most popular. He sets a longevity record despite having a broken body and being in that horrific car accident a few years ago, on top of the, you know, the broken back stuff and the knee. And he's just, I mean, the guy's body's falling apart. For two rounds, he looked like Bionic Man. And then for two rounds, he looked like, you know, a junior version of Ant-Man. I mean, just not very good out there. Certainly not looming large on the course. Though maybe I'm doing Paul Rudd a disservice by calling him, you know, an Ant-Man, a lesser hero. The point of the matter is here, Tiger didn't have it. Scottie Scheffler did. Scheff's unbelievable. Second career major for him. It was not, you know, dramatic down the stretch. He wins it by four shots. The guy can't miss left and right. I told you last week, Scottie Scheffler was my pick to win the event, and that doesn't make me some kind of rocket scientist. If you put $20 down on him like you did, you were lucky to get, you know, $10-15 back. You're not making a lot on that wager, but that's because he is so freaking good right now. Scheffler just automatic and steady, and now two Masters to his credit, and you feel like this guy might take over the sport this year. I think Scheffler is going to win at least one and maybe two more before all is said and done. So Scottie Scheffler, the story of the weekend in the Masters. You had that going on all weekend. NBA, NHL, we're into the postseason's playoffs start this week. Fired up for that as we wrap things up there. And then obviously, you know, you get the big time stuff going on with Razorback baseball, who went down to Alabama. You got the number one team in the country, and they got beat. You lose two out of three. You barely score all weekend. You win the first game 5-3. Hold on for dear life at the end after Hagen Smith gives you a phenomenal outing. And then the next 2 days were kind of decreasing results. You lose 4-3 in game two. All you get is the three solo home runs in the game and no other offense, nothing manufactured, no small ball. And this has been a criticism of mine for a long time now of this Arkansas Razorback offense, is their inability to manufacture runs. It's one of the reasons why I think they continue to come up short on some of these postseasons after big-time regular seasons. They're not creative anymore. And I don't know if that's a Dave Van Horn decision or Nate Thompson or just the way they go about it, but you watched Alabama. If you saw them this weekend, I mean, I know that team's only 6-9 in the SEC, but they're pretty feisty. And Zane Adams was ridiculous yesterday. I mean, just absolutely unhittable. Lights out, 8 innings, 4-hit baseball. Guy was just domination mode against Arkansas. And when the Hogs lay down like that, didn't score yesterday, three solo home runs on Saturday, and just the 5 runs in the first game, Alabama's pitching is not great. Your offense did nada, nothing throughout the weekend. And if it wasn't for Peyton Holt's theatrics with a game-tying home run in the 9th on Saturday, you know, you're not even talking about a chance to win the series. So Alabama wins 2 out of 3. Hogs go on the road. I told you last week it was probably time for things to even out. You know, the Razorback baseball diehards, the super fans, were telling me, no, we're this good. We're this good. But the margins of victory in Arkansas's wins this year have been so narrow. You're not talking about a team with a bunch of big boppers that's going out there and scoring, you know, 10-15 runs a game. Nah. Very few teams are like that. Arkansas definitely not like that. Talking about a Razorback offense that's more like 5 runs a game. And your pitching staff only gives up 2 runs a game. That tells you where you're at right now. Your pitching's unbelievable. You know, Molina was great this weekend. Smith was great. Tiger worked through some struggles. Bullpen, mostly good. A little hit and miss. Obviously, Jake Faraday with the horrible throw on Saturday that cost you that game in extra innings. But to me, you know, you can't put the pressure all on the pitching staff the whole way through. And so now you get back home for 2 games with Texas Tech, who's down this year, still a name program. You'll get them tomorrow night at 7 o'clock and Wednesday night at 4 o'clock as you make your way into some home cooking for a couple games there. Then it's right back on the road, taking on South Carolina for 3 on the weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And that's not going to be an easy series in its own right. So Hogs still 12-3 in the SEC, still number one in the country in my book. I know you might have a couple of polls that come out today and argue otherwise, but this Razorback baseball team, so heavy in terms of the pitching that you almost can't drop them out of the top 5. But when you're not getting any offense like you did this past weekend, it's disconcerting. Long way to go. And yet, I say that knowing You're halfway done with the SEC already. Isn't that incredible? Halfway through SEC play, and Arkansas finds itself at 12-3. Pretty good, right? In the SEC, despite a tough weekend in Tuscaloosa. So, Dave Van Horn and crew trying to recalibrate a little bit as they're back home. The number one team gets beat 2 out of 3. And now we get to see them against some adversity. You know, Alabama's better than some of the other teams you faced at home this year. And winning on the road is always much more difficult than winning at home. And obviously, Arkansas's schedule was highly favorable out the gates the first couple months of the year. Now you're starting to pay the piper as it evens out a little bit more and you take this thing on the road. Five rounds of the People's Post Game for baseball in the can. 29 Saturdays we spent together already. We'll do Saturday number 30 under the Team B Media umbrella coming up Saturday afternoon. We've got the Arkansas-South Carolina game on Saturday set 4, pulling it up. 3 o'clock first pitch. So I would anticipate an hour of baseball conversation this Saturday from 6 to 7. And for those of you who hung out from 8 to 9 this past Saturday, thank you for doing it. Remember, every one of our live shows here, we do 5 a week in Real JB land, and we do another one every Saturday in People's Podcast land, People's Post Game Show land. They all become podcasts afterwards, right? Our crack staff distilling every show down to its essence, and so you get a chance to listen back on your own time. And, of course, the high school basketball play-by-play this past year, that was a blast to take that through Hot Springs. We got football coming up around the corner, and I told you we are just scratching the surface on the possibilities of our new operation here in year number one. All right, Masters and Razorback baseball, and I'd be remiss if I didn't work in a little spring football, too. When we come back from break, we'll run through some headlines and then play some Sam Pittman sound for you. But got out to that on Saturday. It was a busy weekend. Got out to that on Saturday. I'm not complaining. This is good stuff. This is what I signed up for as a youngin. And here we are, you know, 30 years deep in the career, 25, 30 years deep. I'm still loving this ride we're on. But got to watch the game with my man Jermaine Petty on Saturday afternoon. And judging by the attendance, most of you did not watch this game. I know it was a beautiful weekend, temps in the 80s. You got to take advantage of that. But 6,000 maybe total in attendance, 5,000-6,000. I think spring games themselves have lost their luster in a big-time way in this mass media proliferated digital age in which we live. But you would have thought they could have done just a touch better than 5,000 or 6,000 fans for the red-white game. And yet, you know, at least it was a game. You had the clock there in the first half. Yeah, it was unclear. Was it ones on ones or ones on twos? Red jerseys mostly on one side, white jerseys on the other. And then he started kind of mingling the red and the white. And then I lose track of who's on what team. But Taylor Green looks good. Looks bigger, stronger than the highlights I saw last year. Obviously, his tutelage under Bobby Petrino seems to be going very well so far. And Green looked good. Has got some touch in the red zone. Throwing a couple of fades. Hitting Broden for a score. Armstrong for a score. I love Jaquindon Jackson, the Utah transfer, coming in the door. And that guy's physical. He's tough. He reminds me of Dom Johnson a little bit. But more of a burst out the backfield. Now, he doesn't have breakaway speed. You're not going to go take it 50 yards to the house unless the defenders like fall over themselves. But JQ Jackson, this guy is a player. And you get him from Utah as a transfer. He's a Dallas native. He's physical through the line. He had 3 touchdowns in the game, 2 on the ground, 1 on a screen. I think JQ Jackson, my vote for breakout player in this game. Don't forget C.J. Brown out of Bentonville. Look at this cat, a walk-on. He had himself a big day, a couple nice catches down the field. The speed is remarkable. Let's get a question of the day up. Who was your breakout player, even if you just watched it on the SEC Network or whatever, you were just following from afar this spring, who was your breakout player for Arkansas Razorback football? Taylen Green, is it your QB, or were you already used to that being the headline story? JQ Jackson, I'll put C.J. Brown on the list, and then I'll put other. If you were there and you were into it and you got some other names, throw me another name, and we'll talk about that a little bit as well. Question of the day is up. Follow, listen, watch, subscribe at The Real NWAJB. The Podbean app, phenomenal on the HD radio. It's like our radio station in between. And, of course, we're hanging out for 90 minutes here live, getting it done on a Monday. It's the 15th of April. 2024. It is tax day, is what it is. So I'm thinking of the Beatles and the George Harrison and the Tax Man and all the rest of it. Here's one for me and 19 for you. That kind of vibe. Well, make sure you get it done. Chip into the cause in this great country of ours and stay legal, man. Stay legal. Better to stay legal in this country and be here for a while than not. You know what I'm saying, man? Do you know what I mean? And on that note, let's take our first break of the morning. 7:20, the real NWHJB coming at you. You're in the Bunker Studio. Josh Bertoncini here and you there. Sam Pittman. 10 minutes of reaction uninterrupted to the red-white game. We'll play that for you with some headlines coming up next. Bobby Swofford in 40 minutes, and I appreciate your being here as we get it done. Bluetooth this thing up, whatever you're up to, and make it a part of your day. I think you'll enjoy. All right, quick break. We're coming right back. Hang tight.
Hello, this is Tim Stanley, owner of TDSIT. You've known me only up in Northwest Arkansas, but now I bought Business World down in Little Rock. We expanded in 2023, and now we're moving the business to a new location in North Little Rock, May 1st. I'm excited about our reputation for high-quality service, products, and support in Northwest Arkansas, and I'm thrilled that the Carlisle family chose me to buy this 45-year-old business in Little Rock, and we will continue building relationships and high-quality clients. We'll see you soon.
Builders Direct Lighting offers quality lighting products and solutions for all of your project needs. They buy directly from the manufacturer with no middleman in sight, passing the savings on to you, the customer. From a small office space to a large warehouse, indoor or outdoor, we do it all. Yes, we can even light your pickleball court. For more info, visit buildersdirectlighting.com or call 479-256-0461.
Herman's Rib House on College in Fayetteville, a tradition like no other around. When you're looking for the best steak, chicken, salmon, something for lunch or dinner, Herman's has your back. This year is their 60th anniversary, and the food keeps getting better. Perfect time to stop by and check out their revamped menu, the Dustin Omelet, a personal favorite. Herman's in Fayetteville. Follow them on Instagram or Facebook for more info. Stop by and grab some grub today at Herman's, celebrating its 60th year in business in 2024.
Hey folks, this is Matt Chambers with Blue Kangaroo Packouts. We know bad things happen, and we're here to help, taking care of your contents and possessions when disaster strikes. Covering Northwest Arkansas, North Central Arkansas, and the River Valley, accidents and weather happen all the time. When it does, we have your back. Moving, cleaning, warehousing, cataloging, tracking inventory so you don't lose a single personal possession. More information is online at BlueKangarooPackouts.com or give us a call at 479-879-9696.
At Team B Media, supporting local business is what we are all about. Northwest Arkansas is one of the fastest growing regions in the country and one of the best places to live. We are proud to be a small part of its infrastructure. We have a passionate, enthusiastic audience who support local sports and business. For a cost-effective way to advertise your company's message to engage local consumers, contact us at Team B Media today.
Northwest Arkansas Naturals single game tickets are on sale now at nwanaturals.com. Tickets range from $9 to $17 depending on the game, so enjoy low-cost family entertainment at Arvis Ballpark all summer long as the Naturals regular season extends through September 15th. For a complete game schedule, a list of upcoming promotions, and to buy tickets, visit nwanaturals.com.
Golden Corral of Fayetteville features a legendary endless buffet for breakfast, lunch, and dinner to feast the fam or to feast yourself. Enjoy over 150 menu items. Their all-you-can-eat steak is my favorite. Hand-cut USDA top sirloin. Their bakery game is strong, too. You name it, they got it, and they make it good. Golden Corral, a place with something for everyone at a good price. Conveniently located where college meets Maine in Fayetteville.
Old school flavor with that new school flow. This is the real NWA JB.
Yeah.
online. So many ways to listen to the program. The Real NWAJB.com website.
Nice and rock solid there. Get to the show live and then the post-show podcast to listen back to. Apple, Spotify, iHeart, and the post-show podcast as well. Podbean, man. I've been telling you about this thing for eight going on 9 months now. This thing is awesome. It is it's a digital radio station is what it is, and it's HD radio quality. And if you're listening right now, you can attest to that. Man, it sounds good. Coming through sharp. You can hear it. Bluetooth it in the car. When you're out and about around the house, I mean, it's the radio, not on the radio. That's exactly what it is. Follow, listen, watch, subscribe at The Real NWAJB. I'm seeing a lot of these new look sharp JB t-shirts showing up with that cool logo. You got the black behind it, the Johnny Cash Man in Black style vibe. Seeing a lot of folks coming up with those VIP shirts. If you haven't gotten one already, holler at your boy and we'll try to make a move for you. Do it now while you can, while these things are still free, but limited edition. So come on, come after them. But they're looking good. They're 100% cotton. And man, they feel good too. Got to watch the football game with my man Jermaine Petty on Saturday. He's sporting one of those shirts. Give us a follow on the Instagram and be a part of that conversation via the pictures at The Real NWA JB. All right, question of the day today. We've talked some spring football already. Arkansas, playing Arkansas over the weekend. Wrapping up the spring. Bobby Petrino, a huge story. Offense getting after it. Asked you if you watched the game, you went to the game. Who was your breakout player? I know this is for the hardcore football heads out there. But who's your breakout player for Razorback football in the spring game this past Saturday? You got Talon Green on the board. He getting a lot of love early. JQ Jackson on the board. Had a huge game. The Utah transfer running back. CJ Brown. Walk on from Bentonville. These guys are new names, new faces. After the game, we found out Isaiah Gustav, who looked pretty good in the game, I thought, is gone. He hits the transfer portal, and he has had enough. He is hitting the road. And so that was a little bit surprising. But with Dabinion and with, obviously, the play at Jackson, maybe the writing was on the wall that his touches were not going to happen anymore. But that's our QOD that is up there. Give me a thought on that as we work it through. And Scottie Scheffler wins the Masters. Discuss that at length out the gates. 11 under. Åberg from Sweden finishes second, four back, and then nobody else was within seven shots of him. So not exactly a dramatic final day at the Masters. Scheffler doing what we expected him to do. And there you go. Second career Masters for him. The Oklahoma City Thunder got the one seed in the West. How about that? Knicks got the two seed in the East. Mark Pope officially at Rupp Arena, introduced yesterday as the head coach of Kentucky basketball. You go from Cal to Mark Pope. Hogs trying to lock down a couple of transfers here via Calipari. I would think we're going to hear more this week as we barrel through that. And that's what we got. Hogs dropped 2 out of 3 at Alabama in baseball. The number one team in the country loses its first weekend series of the year. I mean, what you going to do? It's a long season. But I do think offensively, you wonder right now a little bit about Arkansas's lack of ingenuity, lack of creativity, lack of small ball. They're not finding ways to manufacture runs, and it's hurting them right now. You got to be more proactive with your ways of, you know, playing a little small ball here, you know, a little hit and run there. Early days, Dave Van Horn used to run that stuff. They don't really play a lot of small ball anymore. You saw Alabama play small ball effectively and beat Arkansas yesterday. But no runs for the Hogs. They get shut out yesterday. Three solo home runs on Saturday. The offense is going through it right now. The good thing is there's still time to adjust. The bad thing is the offense is starting to look like every other Razorback offense in the last 10, 15 years. They don't consistently score runs. Get back to that in a bit. It's 7:30. We're a half an hour in. Thank you for being here. Guys are ripping it up as we do it live. The Real NWAJB Team B Media hunkering in the bunker. It's the bunker studio coming at you. Got to hang out here with my man Chuck in Greenland over the course of the weekend a little bit. Seeing so many heads. He got to see the bunker studio. It's great to see Chuck ripping it up, looking sharp and trim. All right, Sam Pittman, it's 7:30. Got a chance to get out to the spring game with Jermaine Petty on Saturday. We watched it, got some post-game reaction from the head hog. Let's give you a few minutes of that as we continue here, 7:30 on a Monday morning.
I think he had a really good day. Probably caught the ball really well. You know, the group of guys that he was playing with, I think they made some, he made some great throws. We also made some really good catches, you know, out there. But it was good to have Tyrone back and good to have Armstrong back. And, you know, those guys make us better. And obviously both of them had some injuries, family situations, but it's really good to have them back. And I thought Taylen, you know, in some of those runs too, possibly could have been a lot further. I thought he showed a lot of poise today, and obviously there's a great leader in the who's playing around and believing.
What do you think about Quinton's dead back?
So two or three of his runs I missed because I was talking to the television folks. I heard the crowd. I know he ran. What did he run? Was it on a stretch play to get outside on the one down the north end zone on the visitor side? But he's had a really good spring. He's a guy that's probably even better when it's live. You know, he looks better because he bounces off people. He uses stiff arm a little bit more. He's got a violent stiff arm. But he always seemed to be moving forward. And when he gets hard, he grins and gets up. And he's just a tough kid. But it was a really good get out of the portal. He's a really good kid and brings a lot to the team as well off the field.
In your touchdown catch and run, I don't think he was utilized a whole lot in the passing game in his career in the past. Do you think that's something he used a lot as?
I think, Trey, as you know from the past, even that we're going to get the running backs involved throwing to him in a screen game as we build our offense and Coach Petrino's play calling. We've had success in practice some with that, especially getting it into a blitz, a catch, something of that, like that. But he's got really good hands, and I look for our backs to be utilized big time in the receiving.
What thoughts of the first team offensive line today?
Well, they protected well. We ran the ball well. We should. Let's put it like that. You know, you compete against your opponent or yourself, you know, and I think that group is a group that competes against themselves. They want to be good as a collective group. But I thought we ran the ball well, and certainly Taylen had. And I think there was two sacks with his group. One was a cat that he didn't see on a empty protection, and one of them was he got beat at the running back position, but it wasn't on the offensive line. You know, I've coached the O-line forever. Everything negative goes on the offensive line, but that's not really what happened. So I think Eric's done a great job with those guys, but you have to give them credit because, you know, getting Junior Carmoni in here and Blackstock and Nichols, they have a different way about them. Braun now has moved up as a leader more, and he feels like he has the opportunity. So obviously moving through the sense that was a good decision as well. So I like the cohesiveness of the group. I think they played well.
Injuries and stuff at receiver, but it seems like outside of the first team guys, C.J. Brown gets almost all the receptions. What have you thought of him?
That was so neat to see. You know, obviously he's from Bentonville, you know, and it was really neat to see his speed when he caught the ball down the home sideline going south. He's really well coached out of high school, but you know, if you know his family, he's coming from a mature, respectful family. So he came in here probably older than his age.
What's it say that? I mean, he missed a week, but it didn't seem like he skipped a beat at all. He had a really good day today. What's it say about him that he was able to do that?
I think between Ronnie, Broden, and Bobby, I think they have all gotten confidence built in to Tyrone. He's always been very, very, but I don't know if he's always thought that he was a great receiver. I think some of the catches he made today proves that we need him. A lot of people would want him. But it says a lot about his maturity. Of course, he's an older kid, but I think he had a reason and a purpose to go out there today and play well.
Anybody in particular on defense maybe flash to you? I know you got to watch the film.
But... Landon Jackson was around a lot, I felt like, today. Cam Ball has been that way throughout the spring. The linebackers were making plays. You know, they can run, and that's some, you know, Sorry's really fast. I saw Dean make some very physical tackles today. And then with the one defense, I think you have to mention Jaden Johnson because he was very physical in position. You know, the one thing about it is, guys, I think we had four penalties on the day or close to that. And I don't believe we, you know, when we were playing reds and whites, you know, the ones and twos, we were very, very minimal in penalties. And as we all know, I've been here for 5 years, going on 5 years now. And then at the beginning of the year, it's hard, but our officiating at practice has been better, I think. So I was proud of that as well.
For the season opening up next week, what's some of the priorities for you with the remaining scholarships you have?
That's a really good question, because I want to say this first. We don't want to lose any of our players. And I had a talk with our team, and I said, hey, if we just don't lose anybody that we have and don't add anybody, we're going to have us a fine football team. So the number one thing is, I don't want to lose anybody we have. We're going to. I mean, hope not, but we could. I don't know why you'd want to leave this team. It's a good football team, but I understand the landscape of football. Once that happens, we would, if we don't lose anybody, we have five scholarships available. We need to get some more help on the D line. We need to get some more help on the offensive line. And we need to get maybe another wide receiver. If we just had five, instead of going to wide out, we would go to the linebacker. We need an older linebacker. I'm saying that, and I'm answering your question because it's a good, fair question. I'm not saying we need that because we don't have players at those positions, because I think we all believe that we do. It's just a matter of age, depth, all of those things that go into that.
The offensive quarterback position is probably going to go into the fall.
It is. And as a matter of fact, it was a very difficult decision even who to run out there today, because I think you know, the beauty of it, when I'm asking you questions and I know that you guys have been at every practice, you know, when you ask me a question, to me, it gives you a chance to be more educated on your questions as well. And then, you know, when I give you the answer, that it's, I'm telling you what I see, and most of the time it's what we agree on. With the number two quarterback position, it could be, in my opinion, it could be any of the three that are running to. Bobby played all three of those second team guys in the first half. But I think it's wide open in there. Obviously, Taylor Green is our quarterback. But after that, I think it's a very wide open race. And I'm not saying any of them can't go get Taylor, and I'm not saying that, but I believe he'll work hard to keep his position, but 3 to 4 of them, I think we still have to wait and see on 2, 3, and 4.
You got the UAPB game move. That's obviously going to give you extra time for Oklahoma State. Just wonder what your thoughts are on that move overall, playing on a Thursday going into Labor Day weekend.
Well, you look at a few things when you go to Little Rock. And number one, you really don't want to take away from, you know, great football over there, so you don't want to take away from the Friday nights, you know. You go over there and you look at Little Rock, and the first thing is, if you play in September, then what time do you want to play the game? Everybody at Little Rock, and probably everybody ever, wants to play the game at night because it's so dang hot, right? Well, if you play at night, then we have a home game that we get home at 3 o'clock in the morning. It's always earlier in the year. And we've got a 6 or 7 game road stretch before our bye week. right? Now, this year is different because we have six, a bye, six, and then another bye. So this year is a little bit different. But for me, playing on Thursday gives you a lot of reasons to play on Thursday night. Number one, it's a night game. So folks will be able to tailgate, and it won't be as hot. It won't be as hot on our guys. And you gain 2 days on your next opponent. I believe that that was the best decision and really the only decision we could make other than saying, we're going to go over there and play at night on our first game. And that just didn't give us any type of advantage at all. And I believe we'll get people to come out and see us on a Thursday night over there.
But Sam Pittman giving you a feel for it, and I thought some good thoughts in general on his team, on the competition at quarterback. Obviously, he's impressed with J.Q. Jackson, as we are. And he talked about the linebackers a lot, too. Also gave you a glimpse of what they might try to do in the transfer portal with still some spots open on the roster heading into next year. All right, 7:40. If you're listening live, we are cruising. A lot going on. Razorback baseball, spring game for football. We're talking some Masters. We got it all. And we'll catch up with Bobby Swafford coming up here in 20 minutes as well. Follow, listen, watch, subscribe to it. Easier to get on board whenever we're doing it here in the mornings or on the post games or, of course, in podcast land at The Real NWA JB. Hang tight. We're coming right back. When it's time for a cut, you have to go to The Cave. It's a men's grooming and lounge experience like no other barber shop. Located on J.B. Hunt Drive in Rogers, just off of exit 83 on I-49. Individual haircuts, group packages, and if you're getting ready for a wedding or a big occasion, get your weekend started right. Brand new location coming to downtown Springdale soon as well. Online more info, cavemannwa.com, or like on Facebook at The Cave NWA.
Lack of teamwork, failure of communication, overall disappointment. I'm not talking about your favorite basketball team's performance in March. I'm talking about your marriage. If you're getting divorced, don't listen to the myths about custody and child support. Call me, Jackie Mock, at Mock Legal Solutions to discuss your rights and options. 479-769-1505. Mock Legal Solutions. Real advice. Reasonable price.
Everyone wants Christmas lights, but when the holidays get here, money's always tight. But don't you want your business to stand out? Don't you want the prettiest house on the block? That's where Lion Chasers Lighting steps up to the plate and hits you a home run. Hassle-free installation, maintenance, removal, and storage. Because who wants to deal with this stuff in January, right? Now offering monthly payment plans year-round. Lion Chasers Lighting. Call 479-283-2760. Now go chase a lion.
Spring and summer mean road trip fun, and the adventure starts at Adventure Subaru in Fayetteville. Located just off exit 65 on I-49, Adventure Subaru has phenomenal inventory of new and pre-owned vehicles, and all their vehicles have four-wheel drive, so you can take them where you need to go. Adventure Subaru is locally owned and has won multiple awards for community involvement. See for yourself why their customer ratings are through the roof. Adventure Subaru in Fayetteville. Online, AdventureSubaru.com.
See things in a better light with the folks at New Light Electric. Residential and commercial services. They do remodels and additions, electrical upgrades and repairs, LEDs, installation of hot tubs, vehicle charging stations, and more. If you're looking for the folks who have the best touch, these guys are the lighting experts. They literally do it all, and they can add some light to your life, too. New Light Electric. Like them on Facebook or call 479-220-2836.
Dr. Mark Olson has been providing top-notch patient care in Northwest Arkansas for decades. His new office location, exit 69 off I-49 on Willow Creek Drive, is more convenient and accessible than ever. Find out today about the benefits of natural hormone and thyroid treatment. Get your energy back. Dr. Olson is also providing medical marijuana certificates for patients with diagnosed medical conditions. For patient care like no other, it's Olson Clinic in Johnson. Online, olsonclinic.com.
Shogun of Fayetteville for a special experience every time. Best Japanese cuisine around, they have it all. The sushi is top-notch, but everyone's talking about their hibachi grill. The chefs are incredible. It's delicious and entertaining at the same time. For recruiting, celebrations, or just a good old date night, Shogun of Fayetteville has never let me down. With the scenic view of Fayetteville from the hill by the mall, full menu online, ShogunFayetteville.com.
The latest news in Razorback land and beyond. You're listening to The Real NWA JB.
My good friends, thank you so much for tuning into the show. Question of the day today. We're talking red-white game for football. I asked you early on for your breakout player in the Saturday game. You watched it. You were there, whatever it was. And not many of y'all in attendance at this one as the spring crowds continue to dwindle. I think some of that has to do, obviously, with the way they played last year. I would have thought the Bobby Petrino angle for the offense would have gotten some more folks at and about for the day, and the weather was perfect. But I think what we're seeing right now is Northwest Arkansas has got a little bit of that Southern California vibe, right? Where you have so much going on, and the weather gets so nice that you can't commit to every sporting event all the time. You just have a lot going on. I get that. I get it. Nonetheless, at the Real NWA JB, give me your breakout player in the game. Talen Green is getting 70% of the vote here on the Twitter machine early today. First couple hundred votes coming in, Twitter and Facebook, 70% for TG. How about JQ Jackson? Utah transfer, 3 touchdowns in the game, looking like a bowling ball. JQ getting 25% of the vote. And then we're down to CJ Brown, 4%, and other just 3% of the vote. Is that realistically all we get for other? Wow. Let's go to the Facebook page. Who's your breakout player for Arkansas Razorback football this weekend? Joshua writes in, Mr. Johnson, CJ Brown was impressive. Green was equally enjoyable to watch. We got a QB, y'all. Was it just me, or was this year's red-white game more enjoyable compared to some of the years past? I mean, if you were there, I think you enjoyed it. Weather was great. You had yourself comfy seating anywhere you wanted. I don't know if you did the Hogtown thing up on top of the hill before the game, but if you did, I'm sure you enjoyed that too. And by the time it's all said and done, I think the Hog fans are putting the effort to get out to the spring game. They had themselves a good time. You got to watch some football and get out in your Coliseum to football for a little bit and just feel good about it. That's what you got to do. So, a lot of things that have continued to grow for this team in the offseason after such a difficult year a year ago. I think Bobby Petrino's ability to coach up an offensive scheme, to give the team a different voice. I'm not saying it fixes some of the problems we had last year on this coaching staff or puts you in a spot where you feel that much better about it. But I do think that you feel like you're headed in the right direction again. You had to hit the reset button. It just was not happening last year at all. And so this time around, yeah, you're finding a chance to maybe set the tone for the season in a better way. I think Eric Mateos has done a nice job with the O-line. They look a little leaner and yet up top a little more physical. I'm not saying you've completely transformed the bodies on that O-line here in, 3-4 months, but a little bit. You see the regimen they're working on, continuing to pay some results. And I expect this football team next year to be more of a ground-and-pound kind of team. I know you're excited about Talen Green. He's a dual-threat quarterback. The guy looks the part. He talks the part.
He's going to be their swagger guy, their leader on offense. But I think you make it so much more manageable, so much more doable for your quarterback when you give him a running game that he can lean on. And that gets back to offensive line. That gets back to having some push and opening up holes for your top two backs, right? For DeBinion and J.Q. Jackson to get out there and be playmakers for you. And this team has playmakers more than it had in seasons past. And I know you lose Augustov, but you can't let that be the end of the world. You know, you're going to continue to try to bulk up that O-line, try to be better, moving into some spots. I think Dom Johnson, is he technically still on the roster? I think he is. Give him a couple carries too. Keegan Atkins, looking big, redshirt freshman. This needs to be a ground-and-pound team, y'all. And then off of that, I think you saw Bobby Petrino flash the kind of offense that you've missed in recent years. A lot of quick outs. A lot of, you know, three-step drop, get rid of the football. You know, sling it out of there quick on the screens. You saw Jackson with a nice catch and run behind blockers on a screen for a touchdown. I think you make it easier on your quarterback when you open up some stuff in the playbook. And it reminded me, let's calm down a bit, but it reminded me a little bit of Ryan Mallett, the way he would stand back there big and strong and sometimes, you know, instead of just chucking it the length of the field, and Mallett could throw it like 75 yards off of a short drop. What a big dude he was. But he was also really good at the quick drop and the out. You know, get the ball to a receiver and give him some space to work with. Get the ball to a running back with blockers in front of him. I saw that out of Talon Green on Saturday, and I liked it. And that's Bobby Petrino's offensive touches and effects. I think at times KJ Jefferson was asked to be too much of a pocket quarterback. I mean, it's not a sexy take, but it's real. One of the many reasons this offense fizzled, flatlined, you know, came up empty last year. There was no rhythm. I think KJ Jefferson was trying to fit into an offensive scheme that did not cater to him, right? And his running strengths and his physicality. I also think a big part of the offensive collapse last year after the first couple of games was the loss of Luke Haas, your tight end, who out the gates was playing as well as any tight end in the conference. I think once you lost Haas, you kind of lost your flow offensively, and you never really got it back again. So Luke Haas running out there looking lean like a receiver. You hope his blocking continues to improve a little bit too, but he's a playmaker, and having that tight end back is going to be a major weapon for TG to work with. We talked about the O-line's return, the running backs. I think you feel good about Armstrong, bigger and stronger. Ty Broden. CJ Brown looks like he's going to be a player. I expect the offense to be better. But what have we done this morning on the show? We spent a lot of time here together talking about the offense and how that looks. The defense has got to continue to come up in terms of linebackers and tackling, and obviously in terms of the secondary, which has been a perennial problem for the Razorbacks seemingly for as long as I can remember. Good first hour of the show today on a Monday, a reaction Monday, as the conversation continues to come your way, presented in part by Adventure Subaru. Outstanding stuff here in Fayetteville. This is a community-oriented local operation that is doing great work with folks getting into their first, second, third vehicles, new pre-owns, you name it, they're working with it. And at Adventure Subaru, it's not about that commission. It's not about making every last sale. It's about long-term relationships, lasting connections. And so at Adventure Subaru, they don't want you to buy one vehicle. They want that to be your family stop for vehicles over the next 20, 30, 40 years. And that's how your family keeps rolling. And that's how Adventure Subaru keeps rolling as well. Take it where you need to take it. All their vehicles with four-wheel drive at Adventure Subaru, a proud sponsor of the Real NWA, JB. And so we're an hour in, and the journey continues here on the program as spring football is in the rearview mirror. We'll do some more reaction on that tomorrow as we get a little bit more into the defense. Obviously, Jermaine Petty, our Minister of Defense, was there with me on Saturday. He'll be with us on Thursday with a complete recap. And it's full blast on baseball season right now with five games this week, Texas Tech tomorrow night and Wednesday. I think a little midweek work would feel good for this team right now at home. And then you head to South Carolina for three this weekend. And we are waiting for the John Calipari transfer machine to rev up and get even more momentum moving forward. A lot of talk about Cal and his ability to retool this roster on the fly. We heard from Coach C on Friday talking about that. Coach said by the end of the weekend, he thought they'd have a couple commits already. None yet. None yet. But it does not mean we won't get there. We are going to get there. But that's something we're keeping an eye on right now, too. No question about it. All right. Coming up on 8 a.m., get after us on Podbean. Follow the show, The Real NWAJB. You got Twitter, you got Facebook, you got Instagram. Our YouTube channel is rocking and rolling. My guy Omar donning the first Real NWAJB limited edition Man in Black t-shirt. And he says it's good. He says it's comfy. Get on that YouTube channel for a quick 30-second shirt review out of my guy Omar Diaz, looking sharp in the tee from show sponsor Brewskis as well over the weekend. Let's hit a break. We'll do that here at the top of the hour. Bobby Swofford is tossing in the pen as we speak, and he's looking good. He's got a little bit of giddy up on that fastball. So when we come back from a top of the hour break here in just a few minutes, we will continue the conversation and keep it going as we do that here at the tail end of hour number one. And of course, B-Swap, our man from Arkansas's Activities Association. Give us a feel for the high school football action that's coming up around the corner too. We got a lot of stuff where that's coming from. The Real NWAJB coming right back. Top of the hour break. Bobby Swofford next. Hang tight.